on tonight's shiur is number 53 in the series, The Rebellion of Sheva Ben Bichri. But we've already seen that David's reign was filled with challenges, to say the least. Notwithstanding the Medrash that says that refers to David as Hamishubach Shabit Mehamalachim, the most praiseworthy of all the kings, the Medrash also says that David's whole life, all 70 years, was the trouble and travail, as we see. And even after he suffered all these blows, his son Amnon was killed by Avshalom. His son Avshalom rebelled against him and was killed by Yoav. The people didn't give him a break. They're relentless. It was small groups. It's always individuals opposing David. All it takes, as we know, is one rabble-rouser, and the mob is sure to follow. So after everything, there's a new rebellion that starts now. But as background, let's look first at number one, which is in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Tes Mem Aleph. So David is returning. Welcome back to Yerushalayim. The Navi says, Vayavor HaMelech HaGilgolo. The king crossed over to Gilgal, meaning he was in Transjordan, crossed to Gilgal, which is just near, just outside Yericho, Vichimhan. Avarimo, Chimhan went with him. Vicholam Yudo, Heziru es Hamelech, Vigam Chati Am Yisrael. The entire tribe, the nation of Yudo, accompanied him, crossed with him, and half the people of Israel. Who's emphasized? Which tribe was now unanimous in its support of David? Yudo. By the way, learning the theorem, the last few of the series, sponsored by Melissa and Ethan, the Nishmas Ben Sion, Leb Ben Shlomo Zalman, Ben Nishmaso, Shuvat Archai, and Ethan's grandfather. Now, you have to remember that most people supported Avshalom. The number of supporters that David had at the height of the rebellion, I think we said last time, numbered 600. It's just 600 out of thousands. Now you know why you have to flee out of the country. And of David's supporters, most came from Yudah, and this became obvious on David's return, when they were the ones who almost en masse came to greet him. And now all the other Jews came to greet the king with a complaint. They said to the king, why have our brethren, the men of Yudah, stolen you, kidnapped you, abducted you? Meaning, why do they claim you as their own? And they brought you and your whole household across the Jordan and all of David's men. We also want to be part of the king's coterie. Of course, where were they, you know, the day before? But in fact, now they want to join the winning group. The tribe of Yudah, David's tribesmen did not answer with the greatest sensitivity. Vayan kol ishu do alish Israel. They answered, the tribe of Yudah did, ki karov hamelech elai, because the king is our relative. That's right, from our tribe. V'lomo zeh charolocha, why should this bother you? Aladavar zeh. Ha'chol achalum in hamelech, and he says nisolonu, do we take more of the king's provisions than we're entitled to? Has he granted us some special privilege? What are you complaining about? Rather make a general statement that David is Melech Yisrael, they did claim a special connection to him. And even if they hadn't received special privileges, nonetheless they take special responsibility for David. So now the men of Israel answered the men of Yudah, and they said, Eser Yados Liva Melech, I have 10 times as much share in the king. The Gambe David ani mimcha, and even if it's David, ani mimcha, I have more than you. Umadua hakilosani, why do you insult me? The lohoya dvari rishon li loshivas malki, why was it not my initiative, my suggestion to bring back the king? Vayikash dvar ishu da midvar ish Israel, but the words of ishu da were much more harsher. They spoke in a more strident tone, and this the Radak emphasizes in number two. Choshed Dibram. They spoke to them very harshly, very directly. The Chazak Yosem Midvar Ish Yisrael, much more confrontational tone than the Ish Yisrael did. the Debro issued those issues of Kashos. Vamelech yashasek lohem, and the king said nothing. When this dispute took place in front of him, Lefichach Choral Ish Yisrael, therefore the people of Israel became grieved. Vahu Achor Sheva ben Bichri, Kishataka b'shofar, Vamar Ish Lahalov Yisrael. When a new rebellion arose against David, they were very quick to join. The hard feelings of Ish Yudah engendered an ill will that facilitated the next rebellion, which starts now in number 3. Perek Chof. V'shom nikra ish Blial u'shmo Sheva ben Bichri ish Yimini. There's a certain Blial, a base individual, lowlife, whose name was Sheva ben Bichri from the tribe of Binyamin. V'yiskav ha-shofar, he blew the shofar. V'yomer, he said, Ein lanu chaylek b'David. We have no part in David and no share in Ben Yishai. Ish lo halov Yisrael. Each person of Israel back to his tent. Alright? That was the clarion call of the rebellion. Now, from the pasuk, we have to deduce the gravamen of Sheva ben Bichri's complaint, because it's not obvious. So obviously, he's attacking two 3 points, actually. One is, Ein lanu chelek b'David, and lo nachal alonu b'ven Yishai. That's the code. What is the code? So it just struck me that Ein lanu chelek b'David means that we reject David as a person because of his shady past, all the things that he's done. Lo nachal alonu b'ven Yishai, we don't accept Ben Yishai as the source of the monarchy. Now the Malmus has something similar in number 4. He asked the question, Loma Hisorer Sheva ben Bichri. Why did Sheva ben Bichri rise up against David? Zurosha Ko Yisrael no Achrei Libam. Everyone followed Achrei Malkom. All of them now follow the king. Veich Achrei Shoya Om Nidon Bechol Shetei Yisrael Lashiv Tamelech Hafach Libam Tisom El Kol Ish Liyal. How is it possible that now all the people flock to David, and all Sheva ben Bichri has to do is blow a shofar and say 3 things, and they run after him? The Malbim says in Pasuk Aleph, "Vayomer Eimon Uchelik beDavid Rasalomar Malochem beMalchus Beis David." What do you need the kingdom of Beis David for? In Mitzad David Halashayach leMishpachu leShevi Yudah. If it's in terms of David, see, he belongs to his family in the tribe of Yudah. VeEin leYetzush v'Tim Chelik Bo. Clearly, the implication of the answer of the Bnei Yehuda to the Bnei Yisrael in the previous paragraph was that Kikarov HaMelech Eli. Who is David? He doesn't present himself as the king of Israel. He presents himself as the king of Yudah. So we have no share in David. He's not ours. V'lo nachal b'ven Yishai ratzalomar ki achziku b'malchus. Who is Ben Yishai? It's a male. Bnei Yudah, Shevi Yudah, and Tzav b'malchus. So why Yishai? Who are they? Ki achziku b'malchus. O mitzad shekulam rotsim. Because all of them want, the Yeshlom HaChelek Bo Mitzatshu Melech Ben Mel Shemachos Nachum Yidor Dor. The Zilonim Tobo Gamkein. Monarchy is hereditary. Yishai wasn't a Melech, so why is David a Melech? Ki Mitzatshu Ben Yishai Shoya Hedyot Ein HaMalchus Nachalo. The monarchy cannot yet be a hereditary, because who is Ben Yishai? He's still in the first generation. If it's the first generation, then in fact it's not too late to change before things get out of control, because David is not worthy. Now, he said something else also. Obviously, underlying the complaint is the fact that he's identified as Sheva ben Bichri, Ish, Yirini, tribe of Binyamin. He's from the tribe of Binyamin, Sheol HaMelech. So that grievance is never assuaged, and we revisit it. But the Abarbanel says in number 5, when the king was silent, when the dispute took place as to who owns him, so to speak, it's the hatred of David that lingered because of the sense of the business with Shaul and Shaul's decrepit end. So he said, we have no share in David. But what's the argument? And the fact is, David is the king. David was anointed by Shmuel HaNavi. David was the Mashiach Hashem. Did he skip down in the Abarbanel to the end? He says, Lo nachla beven Yishai ish lo love Yisrael vein anu tzichil amela kim leos kalish sarer b'zayso. To quote the fragment from the Megillah Esther. We don't need a king altogether. Everyone can rule his own house. That argument of Sheva ben Bichri is one of the most popular and lingering arguments of all time. Now, I'll just note parenthetically that this grievance of Sheva ben Bichri's will eventually split the kingdom of David HaMelech two generations later, David's grandson. But what's his complaint? Ish lahalav Yisrael, each person to his tent, ain't on obstruction l'melech. We don't need a king altogether. The very attractive philosophy of anarchism, which has existed always, since ancient times, it has quite a run today as well. But it was most popular in the 1700s, and again the early 1900s. Fortunately, it always attracts Jews also. So some of you may remember Emma Goldman, the famous anarchist, who was kicked out of the United States in the 1910s and went to help the Soviets. But what does the anarchist say? We have Torah. Obviously, religious anarchist. We have Torah. What are we king for? God is the king. Why do we need anyone to rule us? We can rule ourselves. Now, this philosophy always appeals to the masses who resent law and authority. They want to live free. In fact, it's interesting that every revolution essentially adopts that philosophy to a limited extent. Who are these people to rule us? We don't need them. Now, if you say we don't need them, but we need someone else, then you're just substituting one form of government for another. If you say we don't need them, we can rule ourselves, so that's anarchy. But these anarchists never recognize the mission of us, that a person should always be the Shlomo Shel Malchus. She'el malei mora'o, if not for fear of government, if not for authority in society, ish esreu chayim b'lo'o, man would swallow his fellow man alive. There'd be no limits. What stops most people from committing crimes is not, unfortunately, some inner sense of ethics, but the fact that they're subject to arrest and incarceration. So, ilmole mora'o ish es re'eu chayim b'lo'o, but people don't recognize that. So you have today, it's very popular, there's a whole group, thousands of people who apparently have no jobs, and they just go across the world whenever there's an economic summit. Rioting and protesting. They're in Seattle 1 month and one year, and a year later in London, and then in Italy and France. They're all wherever the G8 meets or in economic summits. They're protesting. They're globalists. They're anti-government, anti-American for sure. Some of them favor the one-world government, which essentially means no government at all. But we have echoes in this in our tradition from the very beginning. It's Dafin and Aviram's first complaint to Moshe. Nisam chol ish shavish hafet aleinu. Who appointed you? Who appointed you? That's the argument of the anarchists. This strain runs through our history. To put a positive spin on it, it evinces a great belief in self-determination. Make your own decisions, but make good ones. They're against property rights, which these clowns that go across the world protesting. They're against any structure in society. It's a very populist argument, but it's a popular argument too. Ish, oh, love Yisrael. But wouldn't you know, he attracted a lot of followers. Vayal kalish Yisrael macharei David, macharei Sheva ben Bichri. Immediately he drew a large contingent of followers. They left David. No, David didn't act nicely to us anyway. Now we'll follow Sheva ben Bichri. The issue Dov Kuvim al Kamin Yarden Vad Yerushalayim, but the men of Yudah, they followed David, they clung to David from the Yarden to Yerushalayim, and now you have once again a potential civil war on our hands. One brief aside: Vayavod David al Beisoy Yerushalayim, Vayikach Hamelach Esa Nashim Pilashim Asheiniach Lishmor Bayis. David finally returns to the palace in Yerushalayim. He takes 10 concubines that he had, who he left behind when he fled Avshalom, by at name Beis Mishmeres, and he put them in a guarded house, and he supported them, but he no longer lived with them. The famous phrase. They're living widows. They never again live with David, meaning he did not act to them as a husband, but nor did he free them. Why? So the Radak has two opinions, quote to Rishalmi. The Radak says that one opinion of Rishalmi is they were permissible to him, these pilakshim, but David on his own abstained, kovashes yitzro, he overcame his inclination for women because he realized he had a weakness in this area. So part of David's tshuva, in fact, part of tshuva generally, Rambam says, is to abstain. If you have a tendency to sin in a particular area, whatever it is, so you should abstain even from permissible until you regain your equilibrium. That's why he separated himself from these pilatshim. The other opinion in the Yerushalmi is that David was now prohibited to them, since you remember when Avshalom wanted to assert his monarchy, he lived with his father's concubines, and once a hegel lives with the king's wives, then of course anyone or the king is barred from living with them. It's also the melech. So in fact, David kept them alive, sustained, supported them, but no longer lived with them. Why is that here? You see, I think the pasuk is teaching us that David's approach changed. David, we say this in Tachanun, Chatasina Gisamid, his sin is always before him. So David, now with another rebellion, did not revert to his previous pattern of behavior. Rather, he endeavored to do tshuva and to keep his tshuva always before his mind's eye at all times. And in fact, it holds him in good stead here. So let's continue now and look at number 7. Another tangent, which is not really a tangent, but it's really taking care of old business. It's Perek Chav Pasuk Dalet, number 7. Vayom HaMelech El Amasa. The king said to Amasa, now you may recall, Amasa was Avshalom's chief of staff. After Avshalom was killed, and David did not want him killed, but after Avshalom was killed, David promised Amasa that he'd become David's chief of staff in place, ultimately, of Yoav ben Tsruya. This didn't sit well with Yoav ben Tsruya, as we'll see. But now David calls Amasa and charges him with a mission of chasing and capturing Sheva ben Bichri. He says to Amasa, Hazekli et ishu da shloshi shemim. Go round up for me the men of Yudah within 3 days. You stay with me, and you send word to gather them. Amasa went to round up the men of Yudah. But he was late. He was late for the time the king set to him to come. He came after 3 days. Why? So Chazal say, it's because he came to the men of Yudah, they were learning Torah. And he did not want to be mezatzel their Talmud Torah. So he let them be for a few longer days. Since he did not return, 2 things happened. One, David turned elsewhere for someone to lead this mission. And secondly, he was technically, you might argue, a Mored B'Malchus, which will be Amasa's death sentence. By Yomer David El Avishai, so David then turns to Avishai ben Tsruya, who's his nephew, I think, Yoav's brother. Anta Yera Lonu Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. You'll see that Sheva's rebellion is going to be worse than Avshalom. Because David always felt, by the way, David always had a sense that Avshalom would never kill him because he's his father. But Sheva ben Bichri, no holds barred. Anta Kaches Avdei Adonecho Rudof Acharof had Matzalo Arimbet Sirosi Til Einenu. Sheva ben Bichri will harm us more. Take your servant, chase after him, because maybe he'll find himself in fortified cities. He'll gather Jews, he'll dig in, and we'll have a real war on our hands. So, Vayetza Achrei Anshei Yoav Akresi Vakresi V'chol Givorim. After Avishai, Yoav came with Akresi and Plesi, the archers and the slingers. V'chol Givorim, the Chazal say it refers to the Sanhedrin also. They left Yerushalayim to chase Sheva ben Bichri. So they're at the great stone in Givon, and Amasa finally links up with them, the late Amasa. I mean, he was late in time, soon he'll be late in reality. Amasa biflein v'yoav chagur midolev usho v'lof chadocher v'tzumeret amasno v'tzara v'yosav atipol. So Amasa goes towards them. Yoav is wearing his battle garments with the sword at his side. He moves forward, it falls out. Falls out. Vayomer Yoav l'Amasa, Hashalom Atochi. He said, "His peace be with you, brother." Manishma. Vatochez Yad Yamin Yoav. Yoav then grabs his sword in his right hand. Bizkan Amasa l'Nishoklo. I'm sorry. He takes his right hand and he pulls Amasa's beard towards his face with his right hand to kill him. Amasa l'Nishmar. Amasa was not careful. Bacher Vasher B'yad Yoav, with the sword that was in Yoav's left hand, he held his beard with his right, pulled him towards him, with his left hand, Vayakehu Va'elachomesh, again the fifth rib, the same rib that was used earlier when he killed Avner. Vayishpoch, I'm sorry, Avner killed, that's the beginning of the Sefer, Avner killed his brother, for whom he was a Goel Adam. That's why he killed him. Anybody remember? How could we forget? He killed he was the Goel Adam of the name just escaped me. Asael, right, Asael. He killed Asael. He killed the same as the fifth rib. In any event, yes, very good. Vayakehu v'alachomesh, vayishpoch mayav artza. He spilled out his guts to the ground, v'loshonolal, and he did not repeat it, vayamos, and he died. And Yoav and Avishai, his brother, radaf acharei shev, and they continued the chase. Of course, sounds a little strange to our ears. Why did he kill Amasa? What was the justification for it? The Gemara picks this up in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, which is number 6 here. My time of Katalte L'Amasa. Why did Yoav kill Amasa? Amarle Amasa Mori B'Malchus Hava. The Gemara entertains that Amasa was a Mori B'Malchus. Dichsiv V'Yomer Hamelch Amasa Hazek Li Es Ishu Dosh Loshes Yamim. And he didn't. Vayochi, he delayed. So Yoav maintained that he was a Mori B'Malchus. The Gemara doesn't accept that. The Gemara rejects that and leaves it open. But we have to look for another reason, which easily presents itself as Barbanel mentions in number 9, the fourth line. Omnon lomo harag Yoav es Amasa, hakasuv yore, olav, shelofisha roz, David shayasone osa, haregas avshalom, David saw that he hated him after the death of Avshalom, meaning Yoav was hated by David, so Yoav feared that he'd be replaced either in position or in this world. He became very animated, very angry. When we took Kinaso Harago, he killed him out of jealousy. Now that is one shot. He's David, you could argue, he wanted to bring Amasa near so that Amasa does not pose a problem to David later on. Make him part of the inner circle. And of course, Yoav felt he was on the out because he was the one who killed Avshalom. But that, of course, seems to be a rationalization. Now, David surely realized this. And yet, he still brought Amasa into his inner circle. In fact, gave him this mandate to chase and capture Sheva ben Bichri. So why, in fact, is all this happening? Now, of course, Yoav can make an argument also, a lawyer's argument, that he feared that Amasa would ultimately turn on David like he once did. But Dov didn't accept that. Look at number 10 in the Oz Melech of Rav Ariel. Because the Poskim Divrei Yomim, the Ruach Lovshas Amasai Rosh HaShalishim, spirit overcame Amasai, the head of the officers. L'cha David, in Cha Ben Yishai, Shalom. Those, you, David, and those with you, peace. Shalom L'cha V'Shalom Ozrecha. Peace to you, and peace to those who help you. Ki Ozrecha Hashem Elokecha. God is the one who helps you. By the way, where's that pasuk from? Ever hear that pasuk? Yep. I was afraid of that. It's one of the things that nobody hears because we're not that attentive. We say this in the Yitzhak Lecha, every Matzai Shabbat. Lore Niv Sosayim, Shalom Shalom Rechok Vakarov, Amar Hashem Rufasir. The next Pasuk, the Ruach Lov Shas Amasai, a spirit came over Amasai. The famous Pasuk, by the way, not only because of this, but the Gemara derives the phrase Ruach HaKodesh, a Ruach as an expression for Nevuah from this Pasuk. That Amasai was a Baal Nevuah, head of the officers, Lecha David, Bimcha Ben Yishai, Shalom Shalom Lecha, because your God helps you. David accepted him by his name, the Rashi Gedud, and he pointed him to the head of the officers. So we say that pasuk in a paragraph relating to peace, because we hope peace is upon us in the following week. The strange thing is, though, Amasa was Avshalom's chief of staff, and then he was in line to be David's chief of staff. So in the pasuk, he mentions Shalom three times. What kind of peacenik is a chief of staff? So the answer of Ariel writes is exactly that. Amasa ainu kiyov. Amasa was not a different personality, which David recognized. Who ainu chad madim v'chamtim zuhe. He's not a person of violence. Amasa was not a bum, God forbid, nor was he a person who was prone to violence. And perhaps David saw he represented a new generation of warriors who were open to the concept of peace, who wouldn't try to settle every dispute as was customary in the days of Saul and David and Avner and Yoav and Asael and Avishai with a sword, that they could, since they're brothers, they could work it out, talk it out. A new generation. Amasa had a spiritual side. Ruach Lav Shas Amasa, the different type of warrior. Yoav was Patton. Patton had a very difficult time adjusting to peace, as we know. He lived in a world in his own mind of perpetual conflict. And that was Yoav. And David was preparing for the next generation when there would be peace, where Yoav and Yoav's world would dissipate. Amasa was not like Yoav, Elo Adam Murtav Ragish. He was more sensitive. He was nuanced. Hu Amnon Ish Milchama. He was a warrior too. Ach Yadeh Gam Efekat HaShalom. He knew the brach of peace too. Mishum Kach Asi Amasa Lakedi Kol Yisrael. Why then did David dispatch Amasa on his mission and initially and not Yoav? Because he knew Yoav was a hammer. Yoav would kill anyone in his way. That's not what David wanted, because that would just provoke another civil war. If not then, so a year later with some other group with grievances. But David knew something had to be done with Lachay, to unite at Kol Yisrael. And that's why he chose Amasa. But the Einei Yoav, She'en Yodeh L'Derech Achat, Vein Blibo Kol Yisus, Zoi Hitrashlut Poshad. This type of accommodation is to Yoav appeasement, and it is a negation of the job of the Sar Tzava. So that's why you see there are different, the machinations in the house of David. It wasn't Sama, David asked Sama Tzava. David was preparing for the future. Yoav to David represented the past. And now Yoav, unfortunately, killed him and unceremoniously dumped him in the middle of the road. Now, that's what happened as we continue. Who wants Yoav? Whoever is for David is for Yoav as well. Because if you just look about it from the perspective of the soldier, what happened was this Yoav killed the king's designee for the mission, original designee. Amasa's wallowing in blood in the middle of the road. And the man saw all the people did nothing. They stood still. So he moved Amasa off the road. And he threw a garment over him. Like people do that when there's a body in the street. They threw a garment over him. And he saw that everyone stood still. The kasher hogem and amasila, once he's removed, and it really is the busha, he's just removed from the road and left on the side, then they resume the chase of Sheva ben Bichri. So that's his end. Now, David, in fact, the Abarbanel notes, said nothing about this. If you look at the left side of number 9, that, I'm sorry, the end, the Hine Lotila, the first paragraph on the right side. Hine Lotila David Yoav, David never cursed, never reproved Yoav for this. Nor did he mourn or eulogize Amos like he did for Avner. One reason might be Lefisha Bivil Bul Sheva Bebichri, because it's all the whole Tumul, so Sheva Bebichri, the rebellion going on. You don't have time to mourn Amos. But also, Hayyore Bechor Mibnei Yisrael, Upachad Layov Yategam Kenelov, which is a more pressing reason. He was afraid if he would criticize Yov, Yov would turn against him. Because Yov now himself had grievances. Gamki Aymisus Avshalom. And since Yov killed Avshalom, he never really challenged Yoav for killing Avshalom. How could he challenge him for killing Amasa? Well, David was treading very carefully around Yoav, because it's always a dilemma between the monarch, the ruler, and the generals. There's a whole literature these days about the relationship between the civilian leadership and the military leadership. How in most progressive societies, more stable societies, to control the military is in the hands of the civilians, not in the hands of the army. And as the Inyan of the Omar, because now the conventional wisdom is today, once the retired generals called for Rumsfeld's head, then Dr. Bush could not succumb to them. Because then it's given the military control of the military, which is only dangerous for society. Nonetheless, David is part of that dynamic also. I can't really challenge Yoav, although eventually Yoav gets his, but we'll discuss Yoav at a different time. He's a great person too, even though it sounds strange to our ears. So now the chase resumes. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayavor b'chol shesei Yisrael. He passed through all the tribes of Israel. Who's he? That Shevet, Rashi says in number 8, that Shevet Mimichri, Lefatosam. He rode the circus. He gathered followers. He seduced them. Shiamichu aleihem. They should anoint him the king over them. So now the battle is joined. He goes to Avela, Beis Macha, to the Beirim, Vayikalu, Vayavoach Acharov. And he gathered many, many followers. They came, now Yoav did, Vayavoach Yasu alov the Avela, Beis Macha. So he, Sheva ben Bichri, entered a fortified city, which, you know, was David's fear. And he set up shop there, so to speak. And there on the outside, so all Yoav could do, which was the military protocol, the walled city, he laid a siege. Ultimately, you starve them out, like Masada, because they can't get any provisions in. He laid siege, and he moved a ramp against the city, exactly what the Romans did at Masada centuries later, and they stood outside the inner wall. And all the people who were with Yoav began demolishing in order to knock down that central wall. What do we have on our hands? Here? A very frightful scenario. Well, what happened when the Romans penetrated the walls of Yerushalayim in the year 70? What happened? Massacre. That's what happens. In a closed environment where there's not much room to move and there's no advantage really to numbers because it's hard to distinguish one combatant from another or from civilians for that matter. War, which takes place at close quarters, almost always results in a massacre. So that really is what they're facing now. The soldiers of Yoav would enter the city and kill everyone until they found Sheva ben Michal. And then they'd kill him too. So that was a big danger, because obviously, from our perspective, if Yoav would kill an entire city of Jews, it would destroy any possibility that David would ever be able to unite his kingdom. And who knows what the repercussions would be for centuries on. So who steps into the fore? But a wise woman to save the day. Turn the page, and we continue with number 11. Pasuk Tezai. Vatikra Yisho Chachamo Min Ha'ir. Wise woman called out from the city and said, Shimu, Shimu, listen, listen. Imruna el Yoav, Chavad Heinav Adabar Elecha. Tell Yoav to come forward. Older woman, we'll see, quite old. Let him come forward, I'll talk to him. Vayisav Eile, Yoav came forward. But tell me, Yishok. The woman said to him, Ha'ato Yoav, are you Yoav? Vayomer Ani. And Yoav said, yes. But tell me, lo, Shema Divrei Amasecha. Vayomer Shomen Ochi. Listen to me, and he said, yes. But tell me, Leimor. Gaber Yidabru Varishonov, your men should have spoken to you first, saying, Sha'ol Yishalu Be'avel Ve'chein Heisalo. Let them ask the people of Avel to surrender before laying siege to the city, because Heisalo, they would have made peace in the Lashon town. Famous phrase in this next passage. Anochi Shlumei Munei Yisrael. I represent the loyal, faithful people of Israel. Meaning Rashi says, Ani b'bnei ha'ir. Rashi is in number 12, right underneath. I'm a resident of the city. Sheshleimim b'ne'emonim l'Yisrael v'lamelech. We're faithful and loyal to Israel and to the king. So why would you lay siege and prepare for a massacre against all these individuals who are really supportive of the king? There's only one person, one enemy, one rebel, and that's Sheva ben Bichri. So to destroy a whole city would send a message that David is out for vengeance, even if he isn't, but his chief of staff is. Hatamu vakesh lohamiz ir ve'em b'Yisrael. You want to destroy an ir ve'em, a city and a mother, meaning a metropolis, in Israel. The famous phrase, ir ve'em b'Yisrael. Why would you want to devour the heritage of God? It's a very powerful phrase and statement. What exactly is she saying? And who is she? Who is this woman? So let's look at Rashi in continuation. Rashi says, Umedrish Agodah, Serach Bas Osher Haisa. This is Serach Bas Osher. Serach Bas Osher is now very close to 700 years old, an elderly woman. She's been collecting cross-stirring after about 6.5 centuries, depleting the trust fund of Social Security. Ani hishlamti ne'mon le'ne'mon. I'm faithful to the faithful. Al yadi nigle aronoshe Yosef l'Moshe. I was the one who revealed to Moshe where Yosef's coffin was. Remember that story. And he got it to Yaakov the other time. First things first. When the brothers came back and sent word that Yaakov was that Yosef was alive, they're afraid to tell Yaakov. Who was ministering to him at the time? Sarah Bas Osher. So they whispered to her, and she put it in the form of a song to break the news to Yaakov so he shouldn't have a heart attack on the spot and die. Sarah told Yaakov about Yosef's life. Years later, 210 years later, when the Jews were leaving Egypt, Moshe did not know where the Aron Shel Yosef was. It was Serach Bas Osher who told him where it was. Now, in fact, what do you see from here? What is Serach Bas Osher's role? It's to unite the tribes of Israel. Because the dispute that existed between Yosef and his brothers, he was the intermediary. Both with Yaakov and then with Moshe. There was no love lost between the brothers and Yosef even after he died. They may have left his coffin. No. That would continue a breach in the Jewish people. So she was one who brought the tribes together, again the tribe of Yosef. What does she do here? What role does she play? Exact same role. Because when there's a dispute between the B'nai Rachel and the B'nai Leah, someone has to come forward, and that is Sarah Bas Osher. So in fact, you see, that was the argument that she made to Yoav. Look at the Malbim. The Malbim says in your test, number 13, Anochi Shlumei Munei Yisrael, Rosh Aloma, Ki Elchu Lashchis Yir, you're going to come and destroy a city of loyal people. In the Vesha Mardu B'Malkam, did anyone here rebel against the king in the city? O Mepnesha Partsu B'Amun Osama Elokim B'Yimi Dachas, are we a city of idolaters? No. Anochi Shlumei Yisrael, Shlumei B'Malkam, We're a loyal people to God and to the king. She's going to kill, destroy, ir ve'im b'Yisrael, sechotu b'malchom, and you're going to devour Nachlas Hashem, faithful to God. This makes an impression on Yoav. The first time someone talked him out of an act of aggression. Vayan Yoav Ayomar, Chalila Chalila Li, God forbid, in a Valavi Mashkir. You shouldn't think that was my intention. I want only one thing. Ki ish mehar Ephraim Sheva ben Bichri Shmo Naso Yodova Melech B'David. There's a man from Har Ephraim, Sheva ben Bichri is his name, who raised a hand against the King David. Give him up and we will leave. Okay, now comes the question. The famous incident, very famous. Are they allowed to do it? That's the question. If people come and say, give us a person, give us one of you, we'll kill you. You want to give up that person. Okay, let's put person number 17. Yishalmi says, it's in Trumos, Parashat, Baruch HaDalim. Tanei, Sios b'nei Adam, shayim mahalchim baderach, upogu lehem goyim, v'amru tnu lam echad mikem v'narogo so, v'mav reyenu harigimus kulchem. You have Jews traveling, and a band of non-Jews come upon them, and say, give up one Jew, and we'll kill him, and let the rest of you go. And if you don't, we'll kill all of you. Halach is afilu kula nerogin, even if you're all going to be killed. L'yim su nefesh achas miyisrael. You can't give over any Jew. Except, yichad olahem echad, if they ask for a specific person, kigon sheva ben bichri, like our case here, yim siroso, v'lo yehardu, they're allowed to give him over, and they should not be killed. And Rosh Lakish says, Yishu Chayev can be such a Sheva Ben Bichri, as long as he's really liable to the death penalty. Because Yochanan Amar, Afopi Shena Chayev Misa Kesheva Ben Bichri, even if he's not Chayev Misa, if they ask a specific person, then you're allowed to give him up. That's the Rambam Pashim Valocha, number 18. Hilchos Hesori HaTorah, Perik HaLocha Hei. Unfortunately, it's a very practical question during the Holocaust, many times. In the ghettos, they would ask a specific person, from the Judenrat, the leadership. But the Shiloh came up again and again. If they ask for a number, you can't, theoretically, even though that's what the Judenrat did. If they ask for a specific person, then you're in that Machokas or Shlokas Rabbi Yochanan. So Ram says, if a guy say to a woman, a group of women, give us one woman to be raped, or we'll rape all of you, and they all have to submit themselves. Vayim so nefesh achas miyisrael. V'chein im amru lohem ovdei kocham tunu lo'echad mikem v'nargenu. Give us one Jew and we'll kill him, and im lav naro kulchem, if not we'll kill all of you. Yargu kulam. Vayim so lohem nefesh achas miyisrael. You can't give over one Jewish life. Except v'nichadu lohem v'amru tunu lanu ploni o narogu kulchem. Give us this person or we'll kill you. V'im haya mechuyav misa k'sheva men bichri, the Rambam says. If he's chayav misa k'sheva men bichri, like Rosh Lakish said, give me also lahem, you'll have to give him, v'ein morin lahem k'en l'chatilo. You can't tell those guys in this thing first. Yimeinu chayav misa, if he's not chayav misa, yargu kulon, v'al yimsuru lahem nefesh achas miyisrael. I'm here passing like Rosh Lakish. If they ask for a person by name who's liable to capital punishment, they can give him up. Ramah, in 19, in Yerodeah, Simon, Kuf, Nun, Zayin, Kif, Aleph, quotes both opinions. Ovdei kochav, mishamu li Yisrael, tnu lono echad mikem en argenu, lo yidnu lahem echad mehem elam ken yichadu v'amru, tnu lono ploni. That's the case of Shev and Mithri. I'm sorry, tnu lono ploni, give us a specific name. That's really Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Alright? That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. V'yesh omen da'afilu b'kai gavna ein l'mosro, Elam Kain Chayav Misa Kesheva Ben Bichri. That is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, which the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of Rashi and Aran. That Machlokas Rishonim. So clearly, though, if a person is Chayav Misa and his appearance is demanded by the enemy, you'll have to give such a person up. This, of course, plays a role as well, some role in deciding extradition cases that arise on occasion between Israel and other countries. The person has to chayav misa technically, but it's not to say the government follows halacha. Sometimes they do it in any event, but they've done it in one or two cases the last 10 years where there was no misa involved, not chayav misa, but they gave him up anyway. And in any event, you see from here that there's a famous principle halacha is derived from this case. So what happened? In fact, they followed the halacha because he was Chayav Misa Marba Malchus. But Tamar Shal Yalav, what did this woman do? Shech Bas Rasher, Hinei Rasher Mushlach Eilech Abad HaChamah. Whether she decapitated Shev or someone else did, it's hard to say. She's an elderly woman. But nonetheless, she said, here's his head. And they threw his head over the wall. Batavoy Shalom B'Chach Masah, the woman came, went to the people, and it, with her wisdom, Vayechusuas rose Shev ben Bichli to cut off his head. Vayechusu Yoav, Vayechusara Shofar, Vayechusu Na'alir, Isha Olav. He, Yoav, sounded the shofar. The people scattered, went back to their cities at 10. The Yoav Shov Yerushalayim El HaMelech. Yoav went home, and the rebellion was thwarted. Now, Sarah saves, Yoav kills, accepts a rebuke, but in fact the challenge doesn't end. Sheva V'Nichri lives on, unfortunately. Look at number 15. Sheva ben Bichri unfortunately lives on, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Kuf Aleph in the days. The three kings and four Hediotos had no chayot on Mabot. Turn around on. One of those had no chayot on Mabot is Yeravam. Yeravam ben Nevot. The more darshan is Yeravam's name, and skip down. Ben Nevot. Ben Sheni Beit Velo Ra. Tana. Hu Nevot. Hu Micha. Sheva ben Bichri. Sheva ben Bichri, the Rashi says here, it's in part of the Gemara in 16, Sheva ben Bichri, Savar Iu Mulech, he thought he would be a ruler. Lochein Nisamei, Sheva ben Bichri, the Kavats, called Yisrael Elov, he gathered many Jews to him, Hayrotu Limloch, he wanted to rule, but he was unsuccessful. In fact, his Nebu was not far off. Who did rule? His grandson, his son Yeravam. Yeravam ben Nevat would be the person who would challenge Rehavam, the son of Shlomo. Yeravam ben Nevat would split the tribes of Israel. He would found Malchus Yisrael, take the 10 tribes, and make the kingdom in Ephraim. He, Yeravam ben Nevat, was Chotu Machti as Harabim. He sinned and caused many others to sin. He was going to put up a golden idol, so they shouldn't go to Yerushalayim, but should go to Beit El to serve him and come for the Yom Tovim there. He's the one who sent the Jewish people onto the path to Churban and to Golos. Because as we know, the 10 tribes were exiled many decades before the tribes of the Yudam Binyamin. So that's Nevat. Nevat, the Gemara says, was Sheva ben Bichri. What it shows to us is that, what it teaches us is that the dispute between David and between Shaul never really ended. And in a sense, continues until today. It never ended. You look at the Haftarah for Vayigash, so there the Navi Yechezkel prophesies that the day will come when Eitz Yehudah and Eitz Ephraim will merge. Daber Aleihem, Komar Hashem Elokim, Hinei Ani Lokech, as Eitz Yosef Asher B'Yad Ephraim. I'll take the tree of Yosef in the hands of Ephraim. V'Shefei Yisrael Chaverov, the tribes of Israel, his friends. V'Nasati Yosom Alov, as Eitz Yehudah, put together with that the Eitz Yehudah, V'Asisim Le'Eitz Echod, V'Yuchad B'Yadi, there'll be one. And that's really the future. We'll never again be two kingdoms. Well, it looks like we are not quite at that day yet. We may be heading in that direction or heading in reverse in order to find a better route to that destination. But nonetheless, that dispute was never resolved. And that machlokas between the B'nai Leah and the B'nai Rachel is still around. Could it have been different? So we always ask this question when we come to these episodes in the Navi. You look at this particular case, probably not. It's very hard to be critical of David. David didn't do anything wrong here. People ultimately have bechira. Many people, some people have grievances that cannot be assuaged. That's the reality of life. It's David's existence which provokes Sheva ben Bichri. And when one's existence provokes animosity, that type of grievance can never be assuaged. So the immediate rebellion was suppressed. But the seeds were planted for greater rebellion that would take place just a few decades later when David's grandson reigned after an era of peace and prosperity. The days of Shlomo HaMelech, Rehoboam would rule, He's the ultimately a weak ruler who presides over the dissolution of the kingdom, but all that has its roots in the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, which took place in the discussion tonight. I thank you very much. So we'll resume again in 2 weeks.